Well, good morning. It's good to be with you guys this morning. Good morning, Facebook and live stream visitors as well. I'm so glad to be with you this morning to talk about Mary. So perhaps the most envisioned person when the Christmas story is read or portrayed, other than Jesus, of course, is Mary. But what do we really know about Mary? We know that God chose her to be the mother of his son. So she must have been very loving, very kind, very strong. But what do we really know about her? Mary is only mentioned by name in 15 scriptures in the entire Bible. And she's referenced as the mother of Jesus and about five or six others. So all that we really know of Mary is in about 20 or 21 verses. So we have to kind of read between the lines when we are learning who Mary is, who she was. We're not told anything about her childhood. We know she must have come from a very devout home. We're not told anything about her teenage years except that she was chosen, most scholars say, at the age of 14 to bear our Savior. We don't know about her young adult life or her young adult married life to Joseph or Jesus. We don't know. We don't have a window into what their family life was like with his brothers and sisters. A good friend of mine is here today, Michael and his beautiful wife. And he said to us one day, he's the principal of our campus and our chaplain. And he said to us one day, can you imagine what it was like being a brother or sister of Jesus? They go to Mary and Joseph and go, you know, I'm just not ready to go to school today. I don't feel good. I'm sick. I just don't feel good. And Jesus goes, they're fine. Can you just imagine? But we just don't have a window into that life. We don't know what it was like. So all we can do is read these scriptures and take into account the humanness of it all. So my scripture today is Luke 2. It's verses 15 through 20, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. So we don't know much about Mary, and we can only read between the lines of what we do know of her. So let's look at a few things that we can pull out of Scripture as it pertains to Mary. The first thing that we can learn from her is that faith is greater than fear. When we read the first account of the angel coming to see Mary, Gabriel appears to her in her room, and this is what it says. He's enthusiastically coming to proclaim this wonderful blessing. He says, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you, and you are blessed among women. But that enthusiasm wasn't met with matching enthusiasm. It says, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Now, I want us to just pause here for a second, because maybe it's because we've heard the story told and retold and portrayed in plays and sung, and maybe that's it. But we just kind of gloss over this and we make the story void of any human emotion. But I want us to take a second. Mary is a 14-year-old girl, give or take. That's what we believe. She's in her room by herself, and all of a sudden there's this angel here. And what does the scripture say? It says she was troubled at his greeting and considered what kind of greeting this was. I bet she was troubled. She's 14 years old. She's in her room by herself, and all of a sudden there's this angel standing there saying, "Behold, Mary, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to be great, and he's going to have this throne." And all of the things that Gabriel proclaimed to her, and her initial response, "You're going to have the Savior. You're going to be the mother of the Savior." Her initial response is, "Wait, I'm going to have a baby?" She's 14. She's 14. She's a human child. And everything that Gabriel had just told her about Jesus and his kingdom and his reigning forever and he's going to be great, all of that was kind of like, wah, 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 wah. Because her first response is, "But I haven't known a man. How am I going to have a baby?" But Gabriel is so loving and he's so patient, and he allows her to question him, and then he explains the plan to her. And it's beginning to dawn on Mary exactly what is happening. She's going to have a baby, and not just any baby. Now, we need to remember that this is a very devout Jewish home. So these teachings that have been taught through the prophets and the Torah would have been repeated and retaught and retold to generation after generation. So she knows the story. She knows the story that this Messiah is going to be born of a virgin and he's going to be the Savior of his people. She knows all of this. And it's starting to dawn on her, could this really be me? All these things that were taught all these years before I was even born, it was me? And then we're not told anything else. We're just told that she says, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be as you have spoken." Now, I tend to think, because she's human and she is dealing with a human announcement from a celestial being, that maybe, perhaps, the next few minutes, hours maybe, might have been something like this. "Oh, Joseph. What's Joseph going to think? What are my parents going to think? Oh, the town's going to gossip. What about my siblings? What are we going to do about our friends? They're going to pull away from us, because to be pregnant out of wedlock is punishable by stoning. They're not going to want to have anything to do with us. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this?" And so many things could have been swirling around in her head. So maybe she thought about the last thing she said to Gabriel, "I am the Lord's servant." So maybe that helped calm those fears. Or maybe she spent the next several hours going back through the Torah and reading all of those prophets and all of those prophecies about the coming Messiah. Maybe she was starting to gather some strength from that. Or maybe she thought, if this is God's plan, then he will see it through. We don't know. We don't know what she thought. We don't know what she did. We can just surmise that she was a devout Jewish girl. She knew the scriptures. And she did finally, in her last words, say, "I am the Lord's servant." When we think about the fact that Gabriel said to her, "For with God, nothing is impossible." Maybe that was her last thought. It's going to be okay, because God can do the impossible. And remember Elizabeth? Remember after this encounter, the next thing we read is that she went to go visit Elizabeth, because Gabriel had told her in the same conversation, "Even your cousin Elizabeth, who was barren, is now with child. With God, nothing is impossible." So she thinks, "I'm going to go see Elizabeth." she immediately connects herself to people that not only can support her, but they know what she's going through, they believe her, and they believe in her. So Mary was young, but she was devout, and she let her faith be greater than her fear. Another thing that we can learn from Mary is that she reminds us that in God's plan, nothing is without meaning or reason. Have you ever wondered how the shepherds knew which stable to go to? In Luke 2, verse 8 and on, we read this account. Luke 2, 15 and 16 says, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger." So surely there were more stables than just one in Bethlehem. I mean, right, there were donkeys and oxen and cattle and horses and cats and dogs, and everybody had animals. So surely there was more than just one stable. Ah, but the angels didn't say you'd find them in a stable. They said, you will find him in the manger. So it has been taught that in every town, there was a manger. And what the manger was, it's the place where the shepherds would help birth baby lambs. So when a sheep or was pregnant and it was time for her to give birth, they would take her to this area called the manger. Now you see, the shepherds that night were not just any shepherds, and those flock, they weren't just any flock. This flock were those firstborn sheep that had been set apart for sacrifice. And these shepherds, those were the ones that were given the task of protecting these little sheep, protecting these little lambs, until they could be taken into the city and sold for sacrifice. Because remember, at this time, the only thing that could atone for sin was a perfect lamb. So when the shepherds would take these lambs, these pregnant sheep, to the manger to birth these lambs, if it was the firstborn and it was a male, and it was perfect, without blemish, meaning no spots, no limp, no crippled leg, because that did happen, they were to set it apart. So they would take this lamb, they would inspect it. It's a male, it's perfect, no limps. They would wrap it in bands of cloth so that it would protect itself, so that it could not cause blemish to itself or hurt itself in any way, thus making it not suitable for sacrifice. So when the shepherds see these angels, now remember, shepherds were lowly people. They were outcasts. They were the people that you did not rush to invite to a party. You didn't want them to come to your house for dinner. They smelled. They were not the best company. But they were devout, and they would spend their time while they were tending their sheep, reading and studying over Scripture. So when the angels appeared to them, it took them by surprise. I mean, come on. They're standing out. It's the black of night. And then all of a sudden, there's this host of angels singing. Of course, it took them by surprise. But they didn't disbelieve it. Because when they said, "You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger," they knew. They knew. They would know exactly where to go, because they were told to go to the manger, not the stable. In their book, Why a Manger, Bodie and Brock Taney, now for those of you who are taking notes, it's spelled T-H-O-E-N-E. Bodie and Brock Taney elaborate on this point, because they say, why would the Messiah choose to arrive in such an out-of-the-way place as Bethlehem? And why would the shepherds be the first to greet him? Even this was in God's eternal plan. And they reference Jeremiah 23, 4 and 5, which says, I will give them shepherds to oversee them so that they will not be afraid and they will be safe. The shepherds knew exactly where to go. And not only that, they knew that this was the Messiah because he was the perfect Lamb of God, born to take away the sins of the world. And that's why they ran, and everyone that heard their speech about what had happened were marveled at it. When Joseph and Mary went to the innkeeper, and he said, the only thing I have is the stable. Remember the story? He didn't tell them, the only thing I have is the manger. He said, the only thing I have is the stable. But the angels knew when the shepherds knew, when the angel said the manger, they knew which stable. Now, y'all, I'm telling you, if that doesn't just give you goosebumps, you need to wake up. Because that is amazing. That God, before this event even happened, had put all of this into place, and he knew exactly how to speak to the shepherds so that they could hear what had just happened. God is so good to do that. Every single detail, every single detail had a meaning and a purpose. And here we are standing today talking about it. I just tell you, that's just something. So maybe it's not the last thing that we'll talk about. Well, it's not the last thing we can learn from her, but it's the last thing, just because of time crunch, that we can talk about today for Mary, is that we learn the importance of taking in the moment, not taking anything for granted. My favorite part of the Christmas story is one verse, and it's this. It's Luke 2:19. It says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. It's just kind of stuck there in the middle of the end of the passage. It's kind of like it's in the wrong scene. It's like it doesn't belong, because the shepherds are talking about how everybody was in amazement of what they hear. Then there's this verse, and then the shepherds leave. There's no building up to it. There's no follow-up after it. But if you're a mother or a grandmother, a grandparent, I should say, you know what it means to ponder these things in your heart. You keep those things close to your chest, and you remember those things when things aren't so great. Or maybe when your teenagers are acting like teenagers, you remember when they were babies, and you ponder those things, those precious moments. So Mary's listening to all of this. She's listening to everything that the shepherds are saying, and she's keeping track of it in her mind, and maybe she's thinking this. She's going, yep, been there, done that. Those angels just kind of pop in, scare the daylights out of you, and tell you the story too incredible to be true, and then they leave. Been there. Or maybe she was recalling when Joseph was visited by an angel and thinking how that saved her family, how it saved her marriage, because the angel had spoken to Joseph. Or maybe as they were talking, she's looking down or holding Jesus and caressing his cheek as they're telling all the things that the angels had said about him. And she's thinking about how all of heaven was rejoicing at this birth. We don't know. We don't know what she was pondering. We don't know what she was thinking. But this one verse tells us that Mary was a very deliberate thinker. She studied things. And this moment would be etched permanently in her mind, and she would remember this day. When all the other days go dark, she would remember this day. She would remember the angels' proclamations. She would remember the shepherds coming. She would remember all of the details of this day. And she would not take it for granted. I think about Mary a lot as a mom. I have three boys and two grandsons. And we know what it means to hold things as treasures in our hearts, don't we? But I wonder if these were the things that when Mary was looking for Jesus for 3 days and couldn't find him, and she and Joseph and the family are frantic and they're looking everywhere for him and they find him in the temple. I wonder if this is what she was remembering. I wonder if she was remembering the promise. I know he's okay. God promised me who he was. God promised me what he was going to do. Maybe those were what she was thinking. Or I wonder if when Jesus was a toddler, learning to walk, and then he is a little child playing in Joseph's carpentry tools, or when he's a teenager, growing in wisdom and stature. I wonder if these are the things that she remembered. I wonder if these pages flipped before her. And maybe when Jesus was hanging on the cross, I wonder if that's what she was thinking about. And as each nail went into his body, was she remembering kissing those same little fingers, those same hands, those same little toes, those same feet? And was she thinking, God, just like you used every single detail in that night and you had a purpose for it, surely there is a purpose in this too. Clinging to that faith and overcoming that extreme pain and fear. What we can learn from Mary is that God never wastes pain. Every single thing that he has purposed in your life, in my life, in Mary's life, had a purpose. It has a purpose. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, God, surely what this is, whatever it is going on, you name it, this can't be your plan. Surely this is not what you meant for my life. Surely, God, this is not what you wanted for me. Why? God is big enough to handle our why. He's big enough to handle our questions. But he has not muted your prayer line. God is still here. He is still God. And he still loves you so much. Maybe God's called you to a new career. Maybe he's called you to a new homestead. Maybe he's called you, dare I say, to work in the children's ministry at the church. Maybe you're thinking, that is impossible. Can't do it. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too that. It's not going to happen. There's no way. It ain't happening. With God, nothing is impossible. There's a saying, if he called you to it, he'll see you through it. Right? So if God has a call on your life and you think that it doesn't make sense in any form or fashion, it's probably God. He doesn't call the equipped, he what? Equips the called, right? And, you know, we usually say this at New Year's, but carpe diem, seize the day. That should be our prayer every day. There is so much life and beauty and blessing between now and Christmas, this next week. Don't lose sight of the day, the gift of the present, the right now. Don't lose that planning next week and what's for supper tomorrow and I've got this to do tonight. And don't lose sight of the now. Take it in. Absorb it. We're not promised next Christmas. So between now and then, between now and tonight, take it in. Absorb it. Treasure it. When all the days are dark and when the things that come out of nowhere hit your life like a blast, those are the things that keep you grounded. Those are the things that say to our faith, it is stronger than whatever fear we're facing because God's in it. And if he calls you to it, there's a reason for it. Mary was young. She was devout. She allowed her faith to conquer her fear. She connected to people that believed her, believed in her, and encouraged her. And so should we. She taught us that everything God does, every detail, every minute piece has a purpose. We may not understand it. That's okay. That's where faith comes in. And trust. We can trust that God knows what he's doing. And I'm thankful for that. And then finally, she taught us that every single day is a gift. Every single experience that we go through has something in it for us. God never wastes pain. He will not allow you to go through something that he's not in the middle of it. Even if we don't understand it, even if we have questions, that's okay. You can throw a temper tantrum with God and he'll let you. And he still loves you. And he's still going to pick you up. And he's still going to say, okay, let's try it again. I'm going to ask Bobby and Josh to come up. Maybe you have questions for God. Maybe there are things going on in your life that you don't understand. Maybe there are some things that you're facing that are scaring the daylights out of you. Or maybe you just want to thank God for the blessing of your family, the blessing of this season, the blessing of Christmas. Or you may have something you want to talk to the Lord about. It has nothing to do with anything I've said, and that's okay too. We want to open up our altar for you, or you can make your chair an altar. And we want to ask, if you want to pray, Bobby and Josh are here, I'm here, we'll be happy to pray with you. Or we'll just let you and God have your time. So we want to open the altar at this time.